Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Cyril Quinn Review, this special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review on this Sunday, March 27th, 2011. The call number is 347-215-6180. Thank you for joining me as many of you, I'm sure, have just watched Kentucky take out my beloved Tar Heels. Very painful for me to watch, but good game regardless. 76-69, Kentucky advances to their first Final Four since amazingly 1998, when Tubby Smith led them to that to their seventh and last national championship. Before we get into the show, you can hit me up. You can find me at Twitter. Follow me at twitter.com/WilliamGerald or hit me up at facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. Also, the chat line is open. So those Duke fans who want to come and take shots at me, feel free. So the chat line will be open for the duration of the program. But we will begin with one of the greatest upsets in NCAA tournament history. VCU takes out the mighty Kansas Jayhawks. Now, I wish I could sit up here, 71-61. I wish I could sit up here and try to take credit. I didn't pick VCU to beat Kansas. And I don't think anybody outside of maybe the family members or somebody or maybe the people on VCU inside that locker room thought that VCU was going to beat Kansas. But didn't I tell you out there in Blog Talk Radio land that there was no – and have I been screaming all season long, all tournament long, that there is no dominant team in college basketball? Haven't I been screaming that? And now we're going to have a Final Four with not only all the number one seeds are out, but there are no number two seeds. UConn will go in as the highest seeded team at number three. And yet, after Kansas beats Richmond, last night, throughout Saturday, coming into Sunday, Kansas is the favorite now. Kansas. Okay. But again, I had no inclination whatsoever that VCU would even be able to challenge Kansas, let alone beat them. And listen, they shot the lights out. I mean, VCU absolutely shot the lights out. They go, and that was a recurring theme over the course of the weekend. The three-point shooting was, you know, you look at all four winners this weekend, three-point shooting had a big part of all four teams advancing to the Final Four. Kansas shoots 2-for-22 from the three-point line. VCU, who only shot 39% in the game, shoots 12-for-25 from the three-point line, including the biggest one of all. Kansas been making this run, which you expected in the second half, and the score is 52-46. Jamie Skeen, who had a big day, 26 points, was the best player on the floor without question. Hits a three-point shot to go up 55 for VCU to go up 55-46. At that point, when Kansas closed the gap to 46-44, then VCU comes back with the 9-2 run. At that point, I said, you know what, they're gonna do this. I mean, I think they really put Kansas out of the game or at bay when they hit them with that run following Kansas's great run to get the lead, to cut the lead to two. And listen, Kansas. I mean, I don't want to knock Bill Self. I mean, the guy's been to he's taken Kansas to a Final Four. He's won a national championship. But, boy, he has had some devastating losses since he became the Kansas head coach. You think about, you know, losing to Bradley and Bucknell in back-to-back years in 05 and 06 in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Think about last year with Northern Iowa in the second round, as Kansas was the number one overall seed, and again, along with Ohio State this year, the co-favorites to win a championship. And they, I mean, again, Bill Self is a top coach. Make no mistake about it. He's one of the best coaches in college basketball, and there's not a program in college basketball that wouldn't want Bill Self. to be that coach if a top job came available. I mean, he's not leaving Kansas. But, man, they've had some tough losses, some difficult losses in the Bill Self era, despite that 2008 national championship. And this one, to me, is at the top of the heat because VCU, I mean, VCU, now, I will admit this. When I myself was bitching and moaning about the teams who shouldn't have got in, and it was particularly UAB. That was my biggest beef. VCU, I said, maybe they shouldn't have got in either, but I wasn't quite sure about VCU. Wouldn't have had a problem either way. But for the most part, a lot of people were complaining about VCU even getting into the tournament. They get into the tournament. They win 5 straight games. They beat Kansas from the Big 12. They beat the ACC team. They beat Purdue from the Big 10. So, I mean, they beat USC in basically that playing game. They more than paid their dues to get to this tournament. I mean, they more than earned. They beat Georgetown, killed Georgetown. They deserve to be in the Final Four. That's all there is to it. Poll question of the day is this the greatest upset in tournament history? I think, certainly people don't think about Georgetown Villanova back in 1985. People don't think about Houston and North Carolina State in 83, Jim Valvano. You can think about George Mason, Connecticut. This one's right up there. There's no question about it. This is without question one of the great upsets in tournament history. I mean, again, Kansas was favored to win a national championship. They had all kinds of NBA talent with the Morris twins and the Tyshawn Taylor. They had talent, NBA talent up and down the board. But to me, it was VCU's making shots and just. I think their small lineup just bothered Kansas. Kansas could not. I thought Kansas was very unsettled until the second half. I mean, by the time Kansas got settled into the game, they were down 13, 14, 15 points. Kansas played that first half, getting down 18 points, like a team that had never been in, there before in terms of playing, in terms of in the NCAA tournament. And you wonder, and not to certainly take anything away from VCU, you wonder how much Kansas not being tested as far as not playing a top team before they got here. You wonder how much that affected their psyche. You wonder how serious did they take VCU. I mean, Kansas' road had one of the easiest roads, in tournament history as far as a number one seed in order to get to the Final Four in terms of the seeds they had to play. A 16, a 9, and, Richmond was a 12. But to me, this was about VCU. VCU was the better team on this night, on this day. There's no question about it. They outplayed Kansas from basically, Kansas got off to a quick start. I believe it was 6-0. Then VCU hits them with a run. And next thing you know, VCU is up by 18 points. VCU outplayed Kansas from start to finish. They were more aggressive than Kansas. Kansas could not make a shot whatsoever. And VCU, I give them a lot of credit because they could have easily fell apart at 46-44. Shaka Smart gets a technical foul. You're saying, okay, here comes Kansas. They're going to run away and win this game. That was not the case whatsoever. So VCU will play Butler in the first national semifinal come Saturday. In the second game that you just watched, you saw North Carolina fall to Kentucky 76-69. This was a game that, again, basically from start to finish was Kentucky's game. I mean, Kentucky controlled the pace of the game. Kentucky, they shut down North Carolina as far as the transition, except for maybe a couple leakouts that North Carolina had. I know Strickland and Harrison Barnes had a couple and-ones and a couple of Tysons. Ty Zeller had an and-one on a fast break. But for the most part, I thought this was, to me, about two things. This was about Kentucky's shot-making, which was just remarkable, how many big shots Kentucky made. Every time North Carolina was seemingly going to make it a big run or maybe threaten to take a lead. You had Brandon Knight or DeAndre Liggins making a big time shot. It was a three pointer to kind of put North Carolina on its heels, no pun intended, and keep them from taking the lead. Biggest shot in the game to me, well, there was two of them. One, the Brandon Knight three pointer at 67-67 put Spookers like about three. Then you had DeAndre Liggins, who had two big plays, had the Brandon Marshall, had the block shot on Kendall Marshall when North Carolina was trying to take the lead at 71-70, and then he comes back with a three-pointer that was barely a three-pointer by his tippy toes at 70-69 to basically almost put the game away. Carolina had some very suspect possessions after that. Harrison Barnes took a couple quick shots, forced a couple threes when he could have went for twos, but hard to knock him because his performance in that second half, it was about a 4 minute stretch, a two or three minute stretch where Harrison Barnes absolutely took over this game and single handedly brought North Carolina in a position where they could actually win the game. He finished the game with 18 points. He was in foul trouble for a lot of the game. He was in foul trouble for some of the game, but he had a performance down in a 2 or 3 minute stretch where he was clearly where he was the best player on the floor for a 2 or 3 minute stretch, kept North Carolina in the game, gave North Carolina an opportunity to win the game, but just too much Kentucky. I mean, Kentucky, Calipari, you can say what you want about Calipari. You know, everywhere he goes and every place he's left, they've had some issues with allegations. He's never been, penalized for it, but both Memphis and, of course, UMass have had their Final Four banners taken away behind with Calipari and some of the stuff that's going on. But the man, he can flat out coach. I mean, the guy coaches young talent as well as any coach in the country. He loses five first round picks with Wall Cousins, two other ones, Patterson, loses those guys, and to bring back a team that is now in the Final Four is just remarkable. It's something I don't think has ever been done before, losing that much talent and having them come back and a year later make the Final Four. And listen, when they beat Ohio State on Friday night, even as a North Carolina fan, you had a sense that this might be their day. This might be the day. When teams have that kind of win over a number one seed, they tend to carry that momentum into the next game, and that's certainly what Kentucky was able to do by taking out North Carolina and advancing to the Final Four. So Kentucky will square off against UConn in the second national semifinal, which will tip off at about 8:49, depending on what time the first game ends. Of course, the tentative schedule, the tentative time is 8:49. But again, that will depend on the first game concludes. So, yeah, to me, the story of the day is VCU. I mean, that's the story of the tournament, as far as I'm concerned. VCU. I mean, who would have guessed it? That team would make a kind of run that they made, even a more remarkable run than, say, George Mason in 2006. Because you're talking about a team that, again, a lot of people did not even think should take the tournament. And they win five games to get to the Final Four. And they've gotten better with each round as the competition has gotten stronger. Just a tremendous run. Shaka Smart, I wish I could be his agent right now because right now, there are going to be a lot of jobs. The jobs that do come over, there are going to be a lot of offers on the table for him, and it's going to be very difficult for VCU to keep him as their head coach. We're just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Court Review, a special March Madness post-game edition as the Final Four is set. When we return, we will talk about the other half of the Final Four and what transpired yesterday between UConn and Butler advancing. Two great games, really a great weekend of basketball. Three You know, yesterday you had two classics. Today you had a shocker and a very good game in terms of North Carolina and Kentucky. So really a satisfying weekend of college basketball if you're a college basketball fan. Really starting off from Friday night with Ohio State and with the Florida State VCU overtime game. So we'll talk about the Butler, and we'll talk Butler UConn when we return on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Back to the Cyril Quinn Review. It's this special NCAA tournament edition as the Final Four is set. Butler, VCU, in terms of probably the middleweights, though Butler might disagree with that, and it will be on the other side of the bracket, the heavyweights, two of college basketball's giants, Kentucky as a number four seed, taking on the UConn Huskies as a number two seed, Jim Calhoun seeking his first his third national championship. John Calipari seeking his first. And we're going to begin, though, with the Butler-Florida game. 74-71, Butler advances to their second consecutive Final Four, which is, frankly, for a school that small, as far as their resources or limited resources they have, is just unheard of. Matt Stevens, the coach, is without question one of the three or four great best coaches in college basketball right now. Listen, that Butler team displayed the kind of patience that championship caliber teams display. Two different occasions, you thought that Butler was in a lot of trouble. First half, they're down 25-15. Florida is killing them on the inside, with Vernon Macklin, in particular Vernon Macklin, in the first half, Tyus in the second half. They closed the gap to one point at halftime. You say, okay, we're in for a dogfight. And then second half, Florida really takes control midway through the second half, 51-40. You think there's no way Butler, no way Butler can come back and even make this competitive. You didn't know where they were going to get the offense from. Shelvin Mack hit a cold stretch, hit a cold spell, and all of a sudden, they get contributions from the little guard coming off the bench, makes a big three. But the Marshall kid has some big offensive rebounds. They find their second win, and they force the game into overtime, and Florida. And this has been a recurring theme in this tournament in terms of late game situations with some of these teams. Florida has the ball, and Irwin Walker they had the ball with 30 seconds left after with the game being tied. Irwin Walker takes some time off the clock, 15 seconds left, take a timeout with 15 seconds left. So they have 15 seconds left, final possession, tie game, and they wait forever. I mean, wait forever to get started. And next thing you know, it's 4 seconds left, and Irwin Walker has to throw up this wild three-point shot, or this wild shot. Wasn't a three, but this wild shot that had no chance. And I mean, to me, but almost borderline, no chance of going in. I mean, I didn't understand what Florida was doing. To me, teams get themselves in trouble when they, you know, are just trying to say, hey, you know what, we don't want the other team to get another shot. We don't want the other team to get another shot. Either we're going to win it or go into overtime. No, get the best possible shot. If you get the best possible shot and the other team has 2 or 3 seconds left for another possession or another shot, then so be it. Just get a good shot. And if you score early with like 7 or 8 seconds left, then so be it. You scored. Make them score the basketball, being down by 2 or 3, depending on what kind of shot you get. And to me, Florida was more concerned about getting the last shot than they were actually about taking a good, getting a good shot. Just terrible in the game management, in the game situational basketball on Florida's part during that final possession. Butler gets into the overtime. You have, you know, Shelvin Mack making big shots. Irwin Walker did hit a big three to give Florida the lead, but then again Shelvin Mack came back and hit a huge three to put Butler ahead. And even with the last possession, again, Florida gets Irwin Walker, who takes another crazy 25-foot three-pointer, has basically no chance of going in, and there you go. I mean, Florida completely went away from its inside game. Tyus, again, Macklin was a beast throughout the whole course of the game. Tyus, in the second half, Tyus was killing Florida, was killing Butler. I mean, he absolutely had his way in that second half. He took over the game, ended up with 14 points and 10 rebounds. Their big men, Macklin and Alex Tyus, shoot 17 of 26 from the field and combined to score 40 points. Irwin Walker was not a factor, yet, you know, 1 for 10 from the field, 1 for 7 from three-point line, 8 points. Again, he did have the big three. I'll give him that. Had a huge three-pointer to put him ahead, but for the most part, he was absolutely not a factor, and I did not understand why they went away from their big man towards the latter part of that game and into the overtime. But regardless of that, you have to give Butler a tremendous amount of credit. Butler showing how mentally tough they are. Never panicked in that game. They got contributions just about from everywhere as far as just small contributions. You know, not. You know, I don't think any of the role players had big scoring games, but just, you know, a defensive play here, a shot there, a big shot here, a defensive play, a key rebound there, and they just would not go away. And really, Butler knows how to win. I mean, that's all there is to it. They know how to win. All these games they've played, you know, they are now 9-1 in their last 10 NCAA tournament games. They played a bunch of close games in a row in the NCAA tournament, and they are not going to crack under the pressure of, you know, the moment is not going to be too big for them. You know that when you watch Butler play, you're going to have to beat them, you're going to have to out-execute them, you're going to have to out-coach them, but they will never wilt because of the moment. Again, for them to make the Final Four back-to-back years as a mid-major school, first time it's been done out of the non-BCS conferences since UNLV did it in 1990-91. Remember, UNLV had pro talent up and down the board. Butler has one pro player on this team. I don't think Matt Howard's a pro. Shelvin Mack is a pro, but everybody else on that team, I mean, they're just gutty and, you know, gritty guys who just understand how to play, understand their roles, and just know how to lock down defensively. Them defensively really took Florida's guards out of the offense and over the course of that game. So Butler advances to their second straight Final Four. They will face UConn, who was able to survive Arizona 65-63. To me, the story of this game was two players. Now, Kemba Walker, 20 points, 7 assists. But really, for him, considering how well he's been playing over the course of the season and throughout this tournament and going back to the Big East tournament, an average game for him. The story of this game, to me, was Jeremy Lamb and Shabazz Napier. Jeremy Lamb goes for 19 points. He makes, again, similar to the game, to the Sweet 16 game, just seems to make timely shots when Connecticut needs them the most. And this game was no different. He had a big three in the Sweet 16 game to push Connecticut before. Then he made a couple baseline, made a couple jumpers in this game to, again, keep Arizona from taking the lead. He's played great. He's averaging about 18 points a game in the NCAA tournament. Has been a great complement to Kemba Walker. Alex Oriaka's defense was very good. When he went out of the foul trouble, that's when you saw Arizona go on this run. I thought that Arizona really, and again, this is a recurring theme, Arizona took too many three-point shots, 4-for-21 from three-point range. Derek Williams had a pretty good game, but was saddled with foul trouble for most of the game. Still finished with 20 points, but took too many three-pointers. They had a chance. They were down by two. He gets the ball back and takes a three-pointer with basically a hand in his face. Does basically a jab step three-point shot. Misses the kid. You know, they get offensive rebound and get a nice three-point shot in rhythm that doesn't fall for them. And Connecticut wins the game. Again, every time Connecticut, you know, this was a game of runs. It just seemed like every time Connecticut had to have a shot or a big play, Jeremy Lamb or Kemba Walker, who had a couple big shots down the stretch as well, you know, was there to make the shots and to make the plays. Again, UConn, you know, again, this is a recurring theme, but these four teams that you have left, going to the Final Four, mental toughness. You know, Kentucky almost losing to Princeton, had a tough second round game, finding a way to win, beating Ohio State, as the number one overall seed, and, you know, overcoming that, you have Butler, you know, who at one point in the season, a lot of people thought might not even make the tournament. They, you know, they've won now, 13 or 14 straight games. Their experience with Mack and Howard finding a way to win. You have VCU, everybody telling them they had no business making a tournament. They go out there and beat everybody, win five games, and of course, you know, UConn with what is done, with winning now nine straight games, five in 5 days in that Big East tournament, and now they go out there and win, going to the Final Four on a 9-game winning streak. So mental toughness has been a recurring theme, you know, in this Elite Eight, and also just, you know, 3-point shooting. I mean, look at what the losing teams shot as far as 3-pointers go. Florida was 3-for-14. North Carolina was 3-for-16. Kansas was 2-for-22. And looking at Arizona's here, Arizona was 4-for-21. You gotta be able to knock 3-point shots down when you get to this point. Teams will pack. You know, they'll pack in the inside, pack in the middle, force you to make shots, and all four teams that lost in the Elite Eight were not able to knock down the 3-point shot. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Coon Review, we'll do a little sneak peek at the Final Four, and we will also talk about, you know, again, talk about a couple of our poll questions. Where does this VCU rank in terms of all-time great upsets? And who do you like early on in the Final Four? We'll talk about that. The call number is 347-215-6180, 347-215-6180. This is the Cyril Coon Review. We will be right back. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, a special, again, NCAA tournament edition, as the Final Four is set. You have a number 8, a number 11, a number 3, and a number 4 seed. Again, a lot of people thought that Kentucky was underseeded at number 4, and they showed you that, you know, they might even. They showed you in this tournament that that might have been the case as they played, as they knock off both number 1 and number 2 seeds in Ohio State and North Carolina in back-to-back games. And I thought that they, again, their half-court defense against North Carolina was just suffocating. I mean, North Carolina had a hard time scoring, you know, when they did not get fast breaks. Other than Zeller getting some. Getting some buckets on the inside. For the most part, they held North Carolina's in check on when it came to half court. And I thought North Carolina really, you know, that bugaboo for North Carolina all season has been their lack of perimeter shooting and ability. And that certainly Reggie Bullock being hurt did not help that at all, as he's one of their better perimeter shooters. Is also one of the better perimeter shooters, but that really came back to bite them. Got to be able to make outside shots. I mean, on the college level, it is the three-point shot is the ultimate equalizer, especially when you have, you know, if everything is equal, or even if you have superior talent, you make three-point shots, you know, you can kind of close that gap. You know, just look at VCU versus Kansas, and, as a perfect example, I mean, Kansas, you know, VCU just made a ton of three-point shots. Kansas, you know, they couldn't throw it in the ocean. Matter of fact, I think it took too many 3-point shots, in my opinion, and was not able to come out on top. Look at the Final Four now. If anybody, please, if anybody tells you that they know who's going to win this NCAA championship, you need to just smack them. No, don't. But it is. I mean, it's wide open. I mean, it's absolutely wide open. You can make a case for any one of these teams to win a championship. You know, don't tell me that VCU can't win. I mean, I didn't think VCU was going to beat Kansas, but don't tell me after beating Kansas and beating Purdue, Georgetown, beating some of the teams that VCU has beaten, that they're not capable of going out there and beating Butler or beating the winner of a UConn Kentucky. Don't tell me. Don't tell me they can't do it, because it's based on what we've seen in this tournament, you would look like you sound and look like an idiot. So they are more than capable. Any of these teams are more than capable of winning a national championship. That's what's going to make this one of the most intriguing and unpredictable Final Fours in recent memory. And I can understand and how early indications are going to probably favor UConn and Butler. I can understand that. But nobody knows who's going to win a national, who's going to win this tournament. This has been the most unpredictable tournament, again, that I've ever seen. Not only, you know, for the first time since 2006, you don't have a number one seed, but I can't remember the last time that we had an NCAA, that we had a Final Four where there was not only no number ones, but no number twos. I believe that in 2006, and somebody please correct me if I'm wrong, that UCLA was a number two. You know, Mason was 11. Florida was a 3. LSU was a 6. And UCLA was a 2. Well, maybe Mason wasn't 11. Mason might have been a 10. I think Mason was a 10 that year. But I cannot remember. I don't think you've ever had a Final Four with no number ones and no number two seeds in it. I don't think that's ever. I think this might be the first time ever. I would like to find that out. But this Final Four, it's going to be, again, it's going to be interesting because in some ways, you know, playing that first game from a physical and mental standpoint. That's why I think Butler and VCU have a slight, you know, the first mistake people are going to make in trying to gauge this Final Four is they're going to say, well, the winner of the Kentucky-UConn game is, you know, it's going to be the favorites. It's going to win a championship. That's the first mistake they're going to make. When in reality, if you're playing that first game, VCU or Butler, you're going to, you know, you're going to play that game, get it out the way, be, you know, back in your hotels, sleeping or whatever, relaxing, while Connecticut and Kentucky, you know, beat the hell out of each other. They have less time to prepare. Who knows, that game might not get over until, you know, 11 o'clock at night. So, and, you know, it might be physically taxing. Physically taxing with that game. So, you know, you almost rather play the first game if you're a team, if you're a coach. Get that first game, you know, get that first game out the way and then go back to your hotel and just relax rather than playing, because you have to turn back around in less than basically 36 hours to play on a Monday night for the national championship. But again, early on, if I, you know, if you made me give an edge early on to two of the teams, I would reluctantly lean towards UConn and Butler. But again, we'll have plenty of time, certainly next week on our Final Four show, to break that game down, break those games down. Still, as yet, we'll probably do, and it's not official yet, we'll probably do an 11 o'clock show. Then we'll do an 11 to 11 hour, we'll do an hour and a half show, bring a couple people on in terms of what they think about the Final Four. And again, anybody tells you there's not one team in this Final Four that deserves to be favored. You know, you can pick, you can lean towards Butler, you can lean towards Connecticut. Kentucky's on this magic ride. You can lean towards them if you want. You can say maybe. I mean, you can lean towards, you know, any one of those four teams and pick them to get to the championship game, but there's not one team in that bracket, you know, in these Final Four that you can just say, yes, this is the team, they're the most balanced team, they have this, they have that, they have something that all the other teams don't have. There's no favorite, there's no best team. I mean, I've been kind of trying to hammer that home for the past 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. There is no best team in college basketball. You know, you pick somebody to win the winner's tournament because you have to pick somebody. You have to pick one team to win it. But there is no favorite. It is anybody's ball game. You know, it's anybody's tournament to win. Don't be surprised if VCU is your national champion come Monday night. I mean, don't be shocked. It's been that kind of tournament. So, again, it's going to be again. The Kentucky, both games are very interesting. You know, the Kentucky-UConn game will be a rematch early on. I believe they played in the Maui Invitational. Kentucky-UConn, that's really the first sign that UConn had a chance to have a good year. They just knocked Kentucky, you know, beat Kentucky's brains out. But, you know, throw that game. I don't know if you want to completely throw it out because it was a thorough beating. But again, that was November. You know, nobody knew how good Kentucky was going to be. Connecticut, you know, both teams are much better off now. But I wouldn't completely throw it out though, because I remember a couple of years ago you had North Carolina just thrashing Michigan State early on in the season. Then next thing you know, they meet in the national championship and North Carolina again thrashes Michigan State in the national championship. Sometimes matchups are what they are, and you know, one team just doesn't match up well against the other team. But again, this Kentucky team is totally different from what we've seen over the course of the season. Gotten better as the tournament is going along, gotten better as the season is going along, and that was the only game that they were blown out in. Other most of their losses came on the road and had close losses. So they've basically been consistent and have played well over the course of the season. I think the best player in the Final Four, I can say that for sure, the best player remaining is Kemba Walker. So to me, if you want to look at one edge or advantage that out of the four teams, I think Connecticut has the best player left in the tournament. I think that, but I think Butler, having the experience of being at the Final Four, having Shelvin Mack and Matt Howard, I think that's a tremendous advantage for them, having that experience. I mean, none of these three teams, I mean, VCU is going to be, you know, the darlings, everybody loves, you know, the ultimate Cinderella, so they're going to be the toast of the town. You know, Kentucky, a lot of young, you know, they have guys who played in the NIT 2 years ago. They're going to be, they have a lot of young talent that might be a little starstruck in terms of making the Final Four. UConn, I think Kemba Walker was on that team 2 years ago as a freshman. So he played well, actually, during that particular run to the Final Four. So he has some Final Four experience. But Butler, by far and away, has the most Final Four experience. And, you know, you can never, especially when we're telling, maybe in the pros it doesn't mean as much if you say a team makes it to the Super Bowl or even NBA Finals, especially I'm gearing towards a Super Bowl because it's a one-game situation. But in college, you can never discount that experience factor. That is a big-time advantage for Butler going into this Final Four. But does it mean they're going to win it? No. But it means that they, you know what to expect when they get to Houston. They're not going to be bothered by all. They're going to have a routine, where they stay at, where they, you know, what they eat, how they practice, things of that nature. So they will not bother by any stretch of the imagination. So looking forward to it. Again, in one of the most wildest NCAA tournaments in recent memory, I cannot wait till Saturday. We will break down the Final Four on the next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We still might do something later on this week with the baseball opening day, March 31st. So check out my Facebook, Twitter, or Blog Talk Radio pages to get any information. You know, twitter.com/WilliamGerald or facebook.com/TheRealQuinn to check out any updates and updates on upcoming shows that I might be having. So, you know, stay tuned for that. Thanks for joining me on this latest edition, special edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Enjoy your evening, and I will see you next time.